Would you guys listen to the song and read the lyrics?
Well, I do not mean to be uncouth or gory, but I lost my left eye one day on a barbed wire strand. Hey, buddy, would you please tell me your story? I am certain I am one who'll understand. You got a good side, you got a bad side. I'd say that's clear to see. I could help you, I'm certain. And I'm equally certain you could sure help me. You got a left eye, I got a right eye. That makes a perfect pair. Well, our skies would sure be safer if the other one was there, shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder, we will navigate this flight. We will make it through this obstacle course called life. Starboard, I'll be port side. Now have I got that right? Well, in a way, the thing is, let's stick together for the flight. Cause there are hailstones, there are hot wires, there are storms that blow and blow. There are phone lines and there are hurricanes. Look out, here comes a UFO. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Shoulder to shoulder. If we travel all alone, the danger's plenty. But side by side, we're perfect. 20-20. Shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder, we will navigate this flight. We will make it through this obstacle course called life. We all need a friend, we do. If we're gonna navigate this obstacle course called life, shoulder to shoulder, Brother Barlow, shoulder to shoulder.
All right, well, that song is by a guy named Alan Levi. And Alan Levi is a guy, he puts out like 2 or 3 CDs a year. He's a folk songwriter, which means he writes songs that tell stories. Did anybody figure out the story behind that song?
Wait, did he really lose his eye?
What do you guys think? What's the story behind that song? Anyone know? Hilton? Okay, you're going after the meaning of the song. What do you think is the story that spurred on that song? A folk writer sees something in life and then they write a song about it, kind of like Connor does. Connor, what do you think? He said the guy lost one of his eyes and was trying to find an airplane. That's close. The story behind that song, which I chose not to share with you, but it's on the CD, he tells about it. This guy, Alan, was out one day, and he was out on a ranch, and he looked up, and on a barbed wire fence, he saw a bird. And the bird was sitting there, and he had lost one of his eyes. He could tell that he guessed it was off a barbed wire fence or something like that, but the bird's, one of his eyes was missing, and he just had one. And he said it was the weirdest thing to see a bird sitting there with just one eye. But even weirder than that, he said when he was sitting there watching this bird, wondering about how he might have lost his eye, another bird flew up and landed right next to him, and that bird was missing his left eye. And they sat there together, and he thought, how weird is that? There's one bird missing his right eye, one missing his left eye, and they're right here together. And so he imagined, what if these birds struck up a conversation and became friends? And that was the song that resulted from that. And he said, hey, you've got a left eye, I've got a right eye. We make a perfect pair. Let's fly together. We can navigate through all the obstacles of life side by side. Because each of us lacks something, but together we are better. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. When we're talking about intelligently designed, we talked last week about how each of us, do you guys remember how we talked about the human body and then we went out and looked at outer space? You guys remember that? Okay. If you forgot it, the audio's online, the notes are online if you want to go back and look at it at watermarkstudents.com. But this week, last week we talked about how we're intelligently designed for a relationship with the God that created the universe. Remember, I showed you a picture that was just incredible of the universe and of the earth being just a pale blue dot. And then I showed you a picture even more incredible than that of Christ hanging on the cross. And we talked about how before the universe was made, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be in a relationship with him. And he came to this earth and wrapped himself in skin, even though he usually wraps himself in light that travels 5.88 trillion miles a year. He came to have a relationship with you and me, and we're designed for that. But we are also designed by God to have a relationship with one another. Just like those birds that were missing an eye were made to be friends. We're made for each other. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And I want to start off with a picture. I've showed you some incredible pictures. I want to show you another one that's just going to take your breath away. Can we throw that up there on the screen? Like the birds, that guy's missing an eye. I don't think that picture's real. But that guy's missing an eye, and you know, when you miss an eye, you're missing something very important. Can I just take a second to tell you about the human ability to see? Real quick, let's throw up the next slide. Everybody's getting disgusted by that. It's gone. The human eye, inside of your eyeball, all right? We all have your eyes. Go ahead and feel around your eye. You can feel a little ball in there. It's kind of squishy if you want to push on it. Move it around. Okay, yeah, it hurts a little bit. Inside of your eye are 70% of all sensory receptors in your body. Now, what are the five senses? Anybody know? What do you think?
Okay, there's taste.
Taste.
Touch.
Smell.
Sight.
And hearing. Hey, everybody give Chase a round of applause there. No points. Out of all the senses, though, 70% of your body's sensory receptors, okay, that's nerves that receive your senses, are in your eye, not in your fingertips. You think, oh, yeah, I need a lot of not in your tongue where you taste things, not in your nose where you smell, not in your ear where you hear. 70% of all of them are in your eye. Half of your brain power is used up processing visual information that comes to your eye. Half of your whole brain. It's not for running, it's not for walking and skipping and dancing, it's for seeing, for sight, half your brain. And your eye is only 1 inch wide. It's a little 1 inch organ inside. It's about the size of a ping pong ball, but you don't see the whole thing out in the front. But inside your skull, you got two little ping pong balls in there. Yeah. Controlling your eye are six muscles. They come in from the sides and the top and then coming in at an angle from the sides. And all six muscles, they're the most precise and rapid. They're the fastest muscles in the body. They're constantly, all six of them in each eye, are constantly firing, pulling and twisting your eye to take in all the information around you. Light comes into your eyes through a hole. The black spot in the middle of your eye is a hole that allows light to come in. It's not hollow. Don't stick your finger in there. It won't go all the way through. You've got some clear stuff. But basically, there's a hole where light comes in. And light, everything you see is light bouncing off of objects into your eye. So you guys, the reason why your shirt's red, Hilton, is because light's bouncing off of it into my eye, and it's telling me it's a red shirt. So everything we process is by light. And there's these cells in the back of your eye called rods and cones. And there's 120 million rods and 7 million cones in each eye. They're these cells. And what happens is light goes in, it causes a chemical reaction in your ping pong balls, and then the chemical reaction in the back of your eye sends electrical signals to your brain, and scientists have no way of explaining how we see. That's as close as they can get. The eye is an amazing tiny little organ. And I want to tell you about another little organ called the ear. If we can go to the next slide, and here's a diagram of the eye. We don't have time to go through it, but there's thousands of parts in that little ping pong ball. Charles Darwin said this about the eye before we move on. You know, Darwin's a guy that has a theory of evolution, doesn't believe in God, all that. He said to suppose that the eye, with all its detailed abilities like adjusting the focus to different distances, admitting different amounts of light, etc., to suppose that the eye could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. Now, this isn't an argument for creation and all that and evolution. We could talk about that another day. But I just wanted to show you that even Charles Darwin thinks the eye is so amazingly complex that it starts to kind of break down his argument for evolution and natural selection. The eye is incredible. Another incredible organ that we have is our ear, though. And here's a picture of our ear. You've got the outside of it. This is formed for a purpose. It's not just so you look weird or so you don't look weird, because you'd look weird if you didn't have ears. But the outside of your ear, if you have huge ears, that's great, because this is for a purpose. It's to cup sound and bring it in and direct it into your auditory canal or your ear canal. And here's how the ear works. I told you the eye takes in light and there's chemical reactions that send electrical signals. The ear, we can go to the next slide. We might come back to it. Hearing is completely mechanical. There's no chemical reactions involved. And here's how it works. You've got the three smallest bones in your entire body in your ear, and you've got the eardrum, which is just a membrane. Sound is vibrations, goes in your ear canal, and it shakes the eardrum. It's a mechanical action. It's not chemical at all. And so your eardrum's rattling, and your eardrum bumps into these three smallest bones in the body. Go back to the slide before this, if you can, the picture. Go back to the picture of the ear. That's eye. And the next one, there, that's here. You've got the three smallest bones. They're called the malleus down there on the left. It's called the hammer. The incus called the anvil. And the stapes called the stirrup. And those, the malleus, the hammer, runs into the tympanic membrane, which is your eardrum. And here's what happens. Vibrations vibrate the eardrum, and then it vibrates the hammer, which then is connected to the anvil, which vibrates because the hammer's vibrating, which vibrates the stapes, or the stirrup, which sends vibrations into the next thing called the cochlea. You see that thing up there that looks like a snail? See that thing up there? It's called the cochlea. And so here's what happens. Go forward a slide. It's called hydraulic multiplication. I wrote down high heels to help you understand this. If I was wanting to punch a hole in the ground or in this stage, and I was stomping like this with my foot, I would have a better chance of stomping a hole through it if I had on a high heel, because that would put all the pressure of my stomp in one area and it could poke a hole. Does that make sense? So instead of having a wide area like the bottom of my shoe, a high heel has a small area, and so all the force is concentrated in one spot. Make sense? And so the reason why we have the hammer and the anvil and the stirrup is because the eardrum is really wide and big, but when it vibrates all those little things, the stirrup is little tiny. So the eardrum's 55 square millimeters. The stirrup is 3.2 square millimeters. And so the vibrations from the air vibrate, and it vibrates down in the stirrup is little tiny vibrating, and it puts pressure on the cochlea, and inside the cochlea is all this liquid and fluid. You have fluid in your ears. And it vibrates it, and it flows through the cochlea. Inside the cochlea, and this is almost the end of it, inside the cochlea are the organ of Corti, which are little tiny hairs, 16,000 of them in each ear. And those fluids flow through your ear after they've been vibrated by the stirrup, and all those hairs sense the fluid moving, and then they tell the brain what you're hearing. Isn't that crazy? That is wild. Now, let me ask you this. You remember the picture of the guy sticking his finger through his nose out his eye?
Yeah.
Okay. What if that guy, since he's missing an eye, what if I told him, hey, bro, I'm going to be really kind, and I'm going to donate to you one of my organs to have. And I took off my ear, and I gave it to him to put in his eye. Would that work?
No.
Absolutely not. It wouldn't work at all. Because every part of our ear has a special, our body has a special form and function that it has to play. I want to show you a Bible verse. I'm going to give you a thought, and we're going to be out of here. The body, 1 Corinthians 12, you want to write that down if you're taking notes. The body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body, and so it is with Christ. We are all baptized into one spirit and one body. And basically, here's the gist of this passage. We don't have to read through all of it. But it talks about how the eye can't say, hey, I don't want to belong to the body anymore, because the body needs it. And an ear can't say, I need to be an eye. An eye can't say, I want to be a nose. every part of the body works together. And now look at the bottom. It's bold. It says, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And here's what I want to tell you guys this morning. This is real simple. We each need each other. And I hate the fact, I make your parents stand outside every week. We went too long playing games, so I'm going to wrap up here. But I want you to end on this thought. I've got an awesome video I'm going to show you next week. And I'll probably put it online for you guys to watch this week if you want. But we need each other. You need the other people in your family. You need the other people in your small group. You need your leader, and your leader needs you. I want to show you one more scripture, and we'll be done. You can skip the video and go to the last slide. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, this is what Paul's saying to the Ephesians, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Here's what he tells them. You need to be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who's over all, through all, and in us all. If you are a Christian, look at me. You belong to and are one with and are called to be unified in unity with other Christians in your life and with the other ones in this room. But there are so many things that put obstacles and roadblocks in that way. I know of guys in this room that have gotten in fights and arguments and disagreements with other guys in this room and have broken unity. I know lots of girls in this room that have broken unity with one another. But we are one body. And God has designed our bodies to function, and each part has a part they have to play and rely on each other. And by the way, they all tie together in the brain. And God has designed us as a church to each have a certain role. We're supposed to be different. That's okay. But to live in harmony and work together and be unified with one another in Christ, who is like our brain. It says Christ is the head in that passage we looked at. You guys are meant to live together in unity. And we're going to finish this thought next week because I do want to finish it, and I'm sorry we keep running out of time. But you guys can look for this video online. It shows us how we need to depend and rely on each other. But I'm going to cut you loose now. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I pray that we got the idea that you've designed our bodies in a specific way to tell us something. You've designed the ear to function with such specificity that nothing else could ever play that role, and you've designed the eye with such specificity that nothing else could play that role, that you would help us understand that we play an important role, that we are designed specifically how we are designed to play a role in your body, God, and to play a role in this church and in our small groups and in our groups of friends. I pray that you would hammer that idea home into these students' hearts, and that if they are disunified or broken with any other believers, that you would lead them to a place where they would take steps to be united with others. I pray that they would make every effort to be humble and gentle and patient with one another so as to preserve unity. In Christ's name I pray, amen.